Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're looking at some interesting reports comparing societal trends from 2020 to those emerging now in 2025. Our goal today is to understand how the pandemic and other global events have shaped these shifts. Think of it this way. We're using correlation analysis to look back in time and understand how yesterday's whispers became today's realities.
It's almost like having a time machine to study how these patterns evolved. For today's deep dive, the Ghost Trends report from 2020 will be our starting point. It was released right in the middle of the initial pandemic shockwaves, and remarkably, it managed to capture several emerging trends, some of which have become even more pronounced over the last 5 years.
The report used something called the Johari Window Framework. It helped them analyze not just what was known at the time, but also the unknowns and the blind spots.
And you know, it's often in those less visible areas, those unknowns and blind spots, where we find the most valuable insights.
So let's look at some specific examples. One of the most striking correlations is between the 2020 trend of ghost town economics and what we're now seeing emerge as smart, dumb, hybrid cities. They both deal with urbanization, but from very different perspectives.
Ghost town economics highlighted some pretty serious issues. Issues like unplanned development and abandoned urban spaces. And all of that was happening as a consequence of economic instability and honestly some short-sighted planning. You remember all those images of deserted city centers back in 2020?
Yeah, it was an eerie time.
There was a real fear that some urban areas might never recover.
But now in 2025, it seems we're shifting toward these smart, dumb hybrid cities. It feels like a more nuanced approach to urban planning.
Yeah, it's definitely not just about integrating technology anymore. Things like ecological sustainability, personal autonomy, and even a level of skepticism towards over-reliance on technology are all coming into play.
It's interesting because these hybrid cities seem to be influenced by quite a few different groups. Groups focused on sustainability permaculture, advocates people who are really into self-sufficiency, and even those who are just inherently skeptical of centralized technology.
And that really highlights the need for urban spaces that can cater to those diverse perspectives.
Right.
It's about giving individuals the option to opt in or out of certain technological solutions.
It seems the overall goal is to strike a balance, to take the benefits of smart technologies, like, you know, using data to monitor the environment, and combine them with more resilient low-tech solutions like community gardens and water catchment systems.
It's a fascinating blend of the traditional and the modern.
Exactly, like taking the best of both worlds.
You could say it's about finding a middle ground, a symbiotic relationship between technology and nature.
Another correlation that jumped out at us was the connection between ghost gigs in 2020 and trends like rich reset culture and gendered workspaces in 2025. It really underscores how the gig economy, which was once largely invisible, has completely transformed the way we work.
Ghost gigs did a really good job of exposing just how precarious it is to be a gig worker. No benefits, no job security, often not even basic recognition for the work being done.
And now, 5 years later, we have rich reset culture, which is really a reflection of how people's values are shifting. Taking career breaks or even micro-retirements are now viewed as pathways to better mental health and personal fulfillment.
The report also makes it clear that those opportunities aren't available to everyone. Systemic inequities mean that access is often restricted.
Yeah, not everyone can afford to just take a career break or a micro-retirement. Limited access to paid leave and financial resources keeps those inequalities in place.
And then there's gendered workspaces, which highlights a whole other set of challenges, especially with how return-to-office policies can actually worsen traditional gender roles. It can be really tough for people who are trying to find more flexible work arrangements.
It seems like the pandemic, while forcing many companies to embrace remote work, also exposed some of the limitations and biases that were built into traditional work structures.
Absolutely, and it's forcing companies to take a hard look at their workplace cultures. They need to make sure their physical spaces are actually inclusive and can accommodate different needs and working styles. I think this is one area where the pandemic truly served as a catalyst for change that was long overdue.
Now let's shift gears and talk about technology. There's a clear connection between the 2020 trend of ghost populi and what we're seeing now in 2025 with deepfake normal. It seems the anxiety surrounding technology's influence back in 2020 were just the tip of the iceberg.
Ghost populi really captured that growing societal unease, especially around data privacy and algorithmic bias. People were starting to feel like ghosts in their own digital lives.
And now in 2025, we've got deepfake normal, where the lines between real and fabricated are incredibly blurred.
It really calls into question the whole fabric of truth.
The implications of this are huge. It impacts everything from how we consume news to how we interact with each other.
It even impacts the basic level of trust we have in what we see and hear.
It seems we're entering a verify before you believe culture. People are having to develop a healthy skepticism toward digital content and rely on verification tools just to figure out what's authentic.
And that raises some pretty significant questions about digital literacy, media literacy, and how we educate people to navigate this increasingly complex world.
So what about personal connections? What does the report say about how our social relationships have evolved? We see a fairly strong correlation between the 2020 trend of ghost worlds and the current solo society trend. It seems our relationship with loneliness has undergone a pretty profound shift.
Ghost worlds explored a lot of the themes of disconnection and how relationships were evolving in a world driven by digital interaction. It felt like people were living in separate worlds, even if they were in the same physical space.
And now with solo society, it seems like single living is becoming the norm. Not just because of circumstance, but as a deliberate lifestyle choice for many.
That's being driven by several different factors. Things like prioritizing personal autonomy, redefining fulfillment and companionship, and even the rise of virtual alternatives to traditional social bonds.
But the report also acknowledges that a solo society has its downsides. Increased social isolation and a retreat into online worlds are very real concerns.
It's a double-edged sword for sure. But the reports suggest that this trend could also lead to some really interesting outcomes, like challenging our traditional notions of fulfillment and maybe even creating entirely new social structures and support systems.
So it might not be entirely negative, more like a fundamental shift in how we view relationships and community.
Exactly. Traditional models aren't the only way to experience connection and well-being. One area where we see a really big difference between 2020 and 2025 is the focus on inclusion and diversity. The inclusion counter-reformation we're seeing now wasn't really present in the 2020 report.
And it's interesting. It seems like 2020 was so consumed by the immediate impact of the pandemic that we're only now in 2025 really starting to deal with the long-term societal shifts that have emerged.
Inclusion counter-reformation is a reflection of that. There's a growing awareness of systemic inequalities and a real push for more data-driven and impactful approaches to diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace.
So we're seeing tension between those who critique some DEI initiatives as being performative or divisive, and at the same time, a genuine need for real systemic change to address issues like pay gaps and leadership diversity.
It's definitely a complex issue. The report suggests that we're seeing a cultural shift, one that's moving us towards a deeper understanding of what inclusion really means. We're moving beyond surface level measures to really address the root causes of inequality.
It's about going deeper than just checking boxes. It's about creating a more just and equitable society.
Another trend that really stands out in 2025 is aging invisibility. It highlights the marginalization of older populations, something that may have been made worse by the pandemic's focus on protecting the most vulnerable.
The report points to a few factors that contribute to this invisibility. Things like depopulation, the privatization of care, and a pervasive ageism that often overlooks the needs and contributions of older generations.
We need a fundamental shift in how we design our cities and our social systems. We need to make sure older adults are integrated and supported.
It's about creating communities that are truly inclusive of all ages and recognizing the value and wisdom that older adults bring.
And then we have intergenerational animus. This one points to a growing divide within Gen Z. It's kind of the opposite of that broader societal disconnection we saw with ghost worlds in 2020.
It's like we're seeing a generation fragment from within. And that fragmentation is being driven by different levels of technology, access, socioeconomic disparities, and even just diverging values and priorities.
It's a good reminder that generational labels, while useful, can sometimes oversimplify things. There's a lot of diversity of perspective and lived experience within any age group.
Absolutely. We can't just assume everyone in a generation thinks or feels the same way.
If we want to address these potential conflicts and build a sense of unity, we need to really understand the complex dynamics at play within younger generations.
It's about building bridges instead of walls.
Precisely. Speaking of building bridges, the report also looks at paradoxical populism. It's interesting because it echoes the ghost populi theme from 2020, but with some significant twists. They both tap into a deep mistrust of institutions, but they manifest in very different ways.
So in 2020, ghost populi highlighted the growing gap between rapid technological advancements and how slow policymaking is.
Mm-hmm.
It resulted in people feeling powerless, Like, their lives were being controlled by these opaque digital systems.
Fast forward to 2025, and we've got paradoxical populism. Wealthy figures positioning themselves as anti-elite leaders, capitalizing on public distrust and promising to disrupt the system.
It seems paradoxical because these are the very people who are often making things worse. They talk about income inequality and the concentration of power, but their actions often exacerbate those problems.
The report points to the influence of certain subcultures. Groups like techno-populists who celebrate tech innovators bypassing traditional institutions, and anarcho-capitalists who advocate for minimal government intervention.
It's a dynamic that could easily lead to even more erosion of trust in democratic processes and a shift towards systems that prioritize profit over equity and accountability.
Another correlation that's pretty concerning emerges from the 2020 ghost worlds trend and what the report is calling beyond the lone wolf in 2025. They both deal with social isolation and its potential consequences, particularly when it comes to extremist violence.
Back in 2020, Ghost Worlds was really looking at the rise of ghosting and just a general sense of disconnect in relationships, both personal and professional.
Now, 5 years later, that sense of isolation has manifested in a much more disturbing way. We're seeing a rise in extremist violence, often driven by online radicalization, and a sense of alienation from society among certain groups.
The report emphasizes that the lone wolf narrative is often misleading. It obscures the fact that this violence is often networked and influenced by systemic factors.
We need a multifaceted approach to address this, one that deals with root causes like socioeconomic disparities, toxic masculinity, and the spread of extremist ideologies online.
It's not just about labeling individuals as lone wolves. It's about understanding the complex social and psychological factors that contribute to extremism.
The report suggests focusing on strategies that build community cohesion, promote mental health resources, and challenge those narratives that oversimplify the drivers of extremism.
We need to go deeper than surface-level explanations.
Yeah.
And really understand the systemic issues that allow these ideologies to flourish.
And that brings us back to the importance of understanding how interconnected all of these trends really are. The pandemic, while acting as a catalyst for change, also amplified a lot of existing vulnerabilities within society.
It exposed the cracks in our systems, the inequalities and injustices that we can't afford to ignore.
That means we need to be proactive, not just reacting to immediate crises, but addressing the systemic issues that prevent us from building a more resilient and equitable future.
It's not enough to just put out fires. We need to understand what's causing them in the first place.
It requires a fundamental shift in thinking, a willingness to challenge the status quo and embrace new ways of doing things.
We need to acknowledge that the old ways aren't working, and we need to find new solutions for the complex challenges we're facing.
The 2025 report also highlights a few promising trends, things like the rise of invisible indicators and the evolution of stealth operations.
Invisible indicators is interesting. It refers to how much we're starting to rely on data and analytics to understand and address social issues.
It's about making the invisible visible through technology and data analysis. The report gives some examples like using smart thermometers to track infectious diseases or monitoring environmental changes through sensor networks.
These tools can provide incredible insights, insights that can help us make better policy decisions, allocate resources more effectively, and even encourage individuals to change their behavior.
But the report also warns against relying too heavily on data. We need to be aware of the ethical implications and potential biases that can creep into these systems.
We have to be mindful of how data is collected, analyzed, and used, and make sure it's empowering people and communities.
Stealth operations focuses on how much more sophisticated behind-the-scenes technology is becoming. It builds on that 2020 theme of humanless spaces, which looked at the rise of automation and how human interaction was being removed from so many aspects of life.
With stealth operations, it's about how technology is being used to streamline, optimize, and even control systems.
Yeah.
Often without the end user even knowing it's happening.
We see this with the development of autonomous delivery systems, the use of AI-powered surveillance, and the increasingly complex supply chains that operate largely out of sight.
These advancements definitely bring efficiency and convenience, but they also raise questions about accountability control and the potential for unintended consequences.
As these stealth operations become more widespread, we need to develop ethical frameworks and regulations that ensure transparency and oversight. We need to protect individual rights and privacy.
It's about making sure technology is being used responsibly and ethically for the benefit of everyone.
Absolutely. Another trend that's gaining momentum is shadow currencies. This was already happening in 2020 with the rise of cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology, but it seems to have accelerated in the last 5 years.
The report highlights the growing use of cryptocurrencies for everyday transactions, the development of central bank digital currencies, and how blockchain technology is being used for a lot more than just finance.
It's a rapidly evolving landscape full of possibilities, but also a lot of potential risks.
The report acknowledges the volatility and regulatory challenges of shadow currencies and emphasizes the need for strong frameworks to ensure stability and prevent things like fraud and illicit activities.
It's a balancing act. We need to encourage innovation while protecting consumers and making sure our financial systems remain stable.
It's exciting to think about how these technologies might change our world, but it's also a bit overwhelming.
And speaking of reshaping our world, the report also looks at the evolution of Paradise Lost. This trend was initially about the disruption of the travel industry, but it's expanded to encompass a whole reimagining of travel and tourism.
It's interesting how the pandemic forced us to rethink our relationship with travel.
The report suggests that this trend is being driven by a couple of things: a growing awareness of over-tourism and its impact on communities and the environment, and a desire for more immersive and culturally enriching travel experiences.
People are looking for something more meaningful. Ways to connect with local cultures while minimizing their impact.
It's good to see this shift towards a more sustainable and authentic way of traveling.
Speaking of sustainability, the report also looks at how ghost food systems are evolving. In 2020, this was about the rise of ghost kitchens and those delivery platforms.
Now in 2025, we're seeing a shift towards a more integrated and community-focused approach. Things like hyper-local food networks, urban farming initiatives, and a renewed emphasis on supporting smaller producers and farmers markets.
It's about reconnecting with the source of our food.
Creating a more resilient and equitable food system.
One that prioritizes both environmental sustainability and community well-being.
It's a hopeful trend. It suggests a growing awareness of just how important food security and sustainable agriculture are.
The last trend I wanted to touch on is autonomous living patterns. It's been steadily building since 2020.
Back then, it was mostly explored through the lens of self-driving vehicles, smart homes, and those other technologies that automate our lives.
But now by 2025, we're seeing autonomous systems integrated even deeper into our daily routines, especially with all the advancements in robotics, artificial intelligence, and the Internet of Things.
These technologies have the potential to really improve efficiency, convenience, and accessibility for a lot of people.
Especially for those with disabilities or limited mobility.
But we have to think about the ethics. Issues like data privacy, job displacement, and the potential for bias in algorithms need to be addressed.
We have to make sure these technologies are designed and used in a way that benefits everyone and doesn't just make existing inequalities worse.
It's really remarkable how much has changed in just 5 years.
I know, it's like we've lived through a decade in the span of five.
That Ghost Trends report was surprisingly accurate. It was like an early warning system. They managed to identify a lot of the disruptions that are so prominent now.
That Johari window framework they used was really clever. It allowed them to see beyond what was known at the time, to analyze those unknowns and the blind spots that are so crucial to understanding these societal shifts.
Their focus on the invisibility of the gig economy in ghost gigs was spot on. It really foreshadowed a lot of the complexities we're seeing now with rich reset culture, and the pandemic just brought those inequities to the surface.
And they even touched upon the potential for extremism and social fragmentation, themes that are very evident in trends like Beyond the Lone Wolf and intergenerational animus.
It seems like the pandemic was an accelerant, not just for technology, but for these broader societal shifts as well. It really highlighted those underlying vulnerabilities and forced us to rethink our values.
The trends we're seeing now in 2025 suggest a desire for more equitable and sustainable systems.
Whether it's in the workplace, our cities, or our relationship with technology, people are looking for change.
The Inclusion Counter-Reformation is a great example of that. It's a clear signal that we need to go beyond just surface-level measures and start addressing those systemic inequalities in a meaningful way.
It's about challenging those existing power structures and rethinking how we measure success.
Creating a more inclusive environment for everyone.
Aging invisibility is another trend that reflects that desire for change. It's a reminder that as our population ages, we need to adapt.
Our infrastructure, our policies, our social norms, we need to make sure older adults are integrated and supported.
We need to shift away from this idea that aging is a decline and start recognizing the incredible value, wisdom, and experience that older generations bring.
Intergenerational animus presents a very different kind of challenge. It reminds us that those generational labels while useful, don't tell the whole story.
There's so much diversity of perspective and experience within any given generation.
To address this trend, we need to be nuanced. We need to understand the unique challenges faced by different groups within a generation, and we need to encourage dialogue and understanding across those divides.
This deep dive has really highlighted one crucial thing. The future isn't set in stone. It's shaped by the choices we make today.
By understanding the trends that are shaping our world, we can make more informed decisions.
Decisions that can lead to a future that aligns with our values.
That means being willing to embrace innovation while also considering its ethical implications. It means challenging the status quo and advocating for systemic change. And it means fostering a sense of shared responsibility for the well-being of our planet and its people.
The trends we've explored today present both challenges and opportunities. It's up to us to use these insights to create a better future.
As we wrap up this deep dive into the trends of 2020 and 2025, I'm feeling cautiously optimistic. We're living in a time of immense change and unprecedented challenges, but we also have the tools, the knowledge, and the collective will to create a better future.
These trends can act as our guideposts, helping us navigate the complexities of our time and make informed decisions.
Decisions that will ultimately shape the trajectory of our world.
It's up to each of us to stay informed, engage in meaningful dialogue, and work towards a future we can all be proud of.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you found it insightful and thought-provoking. Until next time, keep exploring the world around you. And remember, the future is ours to create.